This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Good morning, everybody, and I especially thank the participants for coming and participating in this. It really is a wonderful moment for me to look back before Lucy. And I choose 1970, essentially for me, as a beginning. That was the first time I participated in field work in Africa when I went with Clark Howell to the Omo. And I look at that time as especially significant in paleoanthropology because it led to what I did called in a previous book, the golden decade of paleoanthropology, which was the 1970s. And you'll be happy to know that I'm not going back to Neanderthals, but will sort of restrict myself to the Pliocene. So this is more or less what we had available in 1970. These were the various species, Heidelbergensis, Habilis, Erectus, Africanus, Robustus, Boisei, and of course Neanderthals. So more or less I showed this talk in Mesa. This is more or less the hypothetical family tree we had at that time. We had very few species, and of course that has changed very dramatically, as we will learn more about today. We didn't have any ancestor for Africanus. Africanus played a very central role, as you know, originally defined way back in 1925 by Raymond Dart. And that, of course, was essentially the vindication of Darwin and Huxley's prediction that Africa would be the crucible where humans were crafted. There were relatively few sites being worked. One of the major sites was the Lower Omo Basin, which had been worked previously in 1930s by the French. There was what was then called Olduvai Gorge, which is now called Oldupai Gorge. And things were gearing up at Kubifora on the eastern side of what was then Lake Rudolph, which today we call Lake Turkana. And, of course, fossils were coming out of southern Africa in the Transvaal region. But the point is that there were really relatively few sites where paleoanthropologists were working. And two of the three of the very important sites are Kubifora, Lower Omo Basin, and Oldupai, because that's where the multidisciplinary approach, which we use today, was pretty much hobbled together. The Circum-Turkana Basin has played a very major role in the early stages of paleoanthropology, pre-Lucy. And I had the great joy of working in southern Ethiopia and meeting a number of people, Kay Behrensmeyer, who is here today. And it was an area where Frank Brown, many other people, were putting together a very significant, well-dated chronology and correlating sites on the west side, the east side, and in the Lower Omo Basin. And it's also where we were refining biostratigraphy, using index fossils to help us understand the antiquity of the deposits in which they were found, that were dated obviously by what at that time was potassium argon dating. And it proved very useful in solving a number of problems. In 1972, this cranium was found on the east side. It was thought to be close to 3 million years old. On the basis of argon dating, and it was very curious because it supported a long-held idea of the Leakey family that there was early true man. And that was debunked ultimately with a combination of redating of the volcanic ash and also initially by Basil Cook's careful study and interpretation of biostratigraphy, particularly of pigs. So that has changed quite dramatically. Okay. At that time, there were a number of people, predominantly at the University of Michigan, who felt that there was a single species. Only a single species could be living at any one time. Since humans' ecological niche was culture, the competitive exclusion principle that they talked about would suggest that there could only be one kind of human living at that time. The work at Cubifora with the discovery of Australopithecus or Paranthropus boisei and Homo in the same strata was really dealt the death blow to the single species hypothesis. At that time, in terms of out of Africa, there was a predominant view that we could not have left Africa until we were firmly in control of technology, particularly fire, and that the dates when I was in school at the University of Chicago for Java, Homo erectus, were something like 400 to 500,000 years old. But we know now that our ancestors got out of Africa at least 1.8 million years ago, and that the dates at Java have been revised to about 1.7 million years old. One of the major developments was under the direction of Maurice Taieb, who had been exploring the Afar Triangle. And during the course of his geological research, of course, he uncovered places that were very fossil rich. And in 1972, after a preliminary search, John Kalb, Yves Coppens, and myself, and Maurice Taieb formed the International Afar Research Expedition. And I show Raymond Bonfils because while she was not a signatory to that agreement, she played a very, very central role in bringing all of us together by being a very active and positive stimulus to Maurice to open up this area to other researchers. Of course, we settled on Hadar in 1972. We didn't find any hominins at that point. But in, and this is, I love this picture of Hadar, but in 1973 was the first hominid found in the Afar region, which I found late one afternoon, which is this knee joint that I've shown several times in the past few days. And what was important about it was that it showed that our ancestors were walking upright at this point. We knew it was more than 3 million years old, but we didn't know how much older. It's probably about 3.4 million years. And we didn't know who it belonged to. So that's quite interesting. We felt that it was, you know, thought or that it might be Australopithecus, but we didn't know what kind of Australopithecus. The other thing that was sort of pre-Lucy was the fact that our own genus was thought to have been traced back to maybe 1.8 million years, predominantly on discoveries from East Lake Turkana and as well as Olduvai Gorge. And we now know, because of Kay Reed's work, that Homo goes back to 2.8 million. Why are the two Ks sitting together? But at any rate. And of course, what was very interesting and persuasive was people like Louis Leakey said, if you don't have tools, you can't have hominins. So he was not interested in places like Laetoli, for example. And stone tools, which were generally called Olduan tools, cut bones associated with stone tools, were thought to be about 1.8 million. There were hints at Omo that it was much older, but it wasn't as, certainly wasn't as well defined as it is today. One of the predominant scenarios of how we became human was dominated by a conference that took place at the University of Chicago called Man the Hunter. And today we are fortunately looking more intensely and thinking about more closely the role of women in Human Origins. And that is a major shift from the very male-centric view in the pre-Lucy days. I should point out that in terms of applications, what was absent and what we will hear much more about today are things like paleo DNA. We weren't really thinking much about paleo DNA. We didn't think we would find very old DNA. That's, of course, stimulated a major revision in upper paleo, middle, and upper Paleolithic. And in fact has defined one species solely on DNA. Proteomics is making a real strong insight into proteins that are preserved where you don't have DNA. Maybe we'll hear a little bit about that today. Trace element studies were really in their infancy, virtually non-existent pre-Lucy. And today we're talking about different kinds of vegetation, C3, C4 vegetation, and synchrotron scanning is revealing important insights into maturation, age of death, and so on. None of those techniques were available to us then. So I'll just conclude with the cover of the current Science magazine, which is an article that Ann Gibbons, who was with us this morning, wrote, and is a very interesting prelude and adjunct to my presentation and to what is going to follow. So thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at UCTV.tv.